You've tuned in to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're thrilled that you've joined us. Kent, we've got a great study.
I have a question. Yeah, Why do you have a bigger cup than me?
Well, because the ladies behind the counter are nicer to me than they are to you. I mean, you're boss man. I'm just the gracious guest here at Herb's house.
Put that on my tab.
I tell them to put it on my tab, but the realization is I don't have a tab, so it goes on to your tab.
Okay.
So
I think you got a bit too big. We'll get a small one.
Kent is exegeting the coffee cups here.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So speaking of foolishness.
Yes.
The title of this devotion is Foolish Wisdom. Foolish Wisdom. So we're in 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 21, and the scripture reads, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Kent, there is such a profundity about this verse, and it really lies in this, that in the wisdom of God, God chose to expose the wisdom of the world through the message of the cross. And the cross is the wisdom of God. It is the absolute genius of God. Only God could have designed the cross. It is God's plan of salvation. We would have never come up with the message of the cross in a million trillion years. Only God could have been the architect of this message. And it is through this wisdom that Christ would die in the place of guilty sinners, that our sins would be laid upon him, that his blood would be the means by which our forgiveness would come, that he would wash away our sins, that this wisdom of God exposes the utter bankruptcy of the wisdom of the world, that man could find acceptance with God through his own merit. When Isaiah says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight, that the world with its arrogance and with its pride and self-reliance and self-righteousness presumes foolishly that it can live life independent of God, and that there are no consequences to one's sin, and that there are no consequences to death and what lies on the other side of death. That's really the wisdom of the world, which Paul says is utterly foolishness, that God is well pleased. This pleases God, that the foolishness of the message pleased, and there's a note of sarcasm there. The message of the cross is not foolishness. It's wisdom, but it's foolishness in the eyes of the world. But this is how God has chosen to save. The word save means to deliver from destruction, to rescue from ruin. That God is well pleased to save only one kind of person, and it's the one who believes in the cross, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who no longer believes in himself, who no longer believes in the world and its agenda and its message, but now believes in Jesus Christ. This is the only one who will escape this world to find acceptance with holy God in heaven. And this really delights the heart of God, to unplug the wisdom of the world, really to destroy the wisdom of the world through this simple, foolish message of the cross of Jesus Christ. So, Kent, I mean, we need to talk about this, but there is so much wisdom just even in this one little verse. So what comes to your mind as you heard this?
I would back way up and say, Steve, how did it all start? How did the world become so antithetical to God and really flowing away from God in the opposite direction of all godly things. How did all that happen?
How did this get in the drinking water?
Yeah, how did we find ourselves in this situation?
Well, it goes all the way back, as you know, to Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent, Satan speaking through the serpent, deceived Eve into really setting aside the word of God and to trust in what her eyes see and what her senses tell her is true. And then her influence on her husband, Adam, influencing him, and he yielded to the temptation to eat the forbidden fruit. It all really goes back right there. That's where man left the path of wisdom and chose to go his own way. And Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the end of death. It continued with their son Cain, who determined, I can worship God however I want to worship God. And Abel came with a blood sacrifice as God had required. And going back to the very dawn of human history, man departed from the path and went down a path of destruction. But God had already prepared the way back to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the way back to himself is through the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent, referring to Christ and him crucified. And so God already had put into place before man ever sinned the message of the cross. Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. He was foreknown by the Father before time began. So in God's wisdom, he overcame really the foolish decisions of Adam and Eve and Cain, and it would continue on down through the centuries, through the Tower of Babel, and the rest. And you've asked a huge question,
no,
but that's
great.
The briefest answer we can give.
My next question is, Steve, are we and this world more affected by the fall of sin than we realize?
Oh, absolutely. Original sin. You know, what's wrong with the world? Original sin. Original sin is Adam's sin against God. And when Adam sinned, we all sinned. His sin was imputed to the accounts of each and every one of us. We were counted as sinners, but then his sin nature has been passed down through each procreation such that we are born with a bent towards sin, a sinful disposition to go away from God. And so we were born spiritually blind and can't really see the wisdom of God, spiritually really defiled and do not desire the wisdom of God, and then our wills spiritually bound, that when we hear the message of the cross, we don't want it and we don't believe it. And so that's all the result of the fall. And so that's why it's only by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to open hearts and eyes and ears and minds to see and understand, desire, and to believe the truth. It really requires a divine intervention in each one of our lives in order for us to come to the cross and to embrace this message. So again, you've asked a huge question, but it really is the issue of the day.
So we got a couple of seconds left, but if somebody's listening and they say, you know, I want the wisdom of God, I'm not sure that I have it, I may be too influenced by the world, but I want to know that I have the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
What do they need to do?
Well, they need to get in the Bible. They need to read the Word of God, because every page contains the sure wisdom of God, God's insight into all of life. And it gives us the understanding from God's eternal perspective, which is what we so desperately need. I mean, we're inundated with the lies of the world. That's why we've got to be in the Word of God. And at the very center of the Word of God is the message of the cross, which is the greatest pinnacle and summit of God's wisdom, that man cannot save himself, that only by grace can we be saved, and God has chosen to work through the death of his Son to redeem a people for himself. And so if you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, today can be your day. Today should be your day. So if you would come to Christ and believe in him who died upon the cross for sinners, then you'd be saved. And so I just urge you to humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God and to believe the wisdom of God in the cross, and you will be rescued from eternal perishing. It's the truth. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.